Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
In our last Bible adventure, King David sent his army to the east of Israel to fight the Ammonites after they had refused David's offer of friendship to the new reigning Ammonite king following his father's death. The Ammonites then attacked the Israelites with hired soldiers brought in from other nations. The victory was indecisive, so the next springtime, the Israelite army went out again to battle the Ammonites. King David decided to leave the battle to his commander-in-chief Joab for him to take care of it. He himself stayed behind in his palace in Jerusalem. David had many wives and children. When his young sons grew up, David gave them important places in his administration. But one evening, when he seemingly had nothing to fill his time, he fell into sin by desiring a beautiful woman who was bathing in her home, even though she was already married to one of his best soldiers out fighting.
David had been successful in his battles and popular with his people. This honor and adulation were not without effect upon David. He began to feel that he was the important one. He forgot that he had been successful because he had followed God's leading. When the beauty of Bathsheba attracted David, he determined that he would have her, even if he must trample God's precepts in order to obtain his own selfish and lustful desires.
Send a messenger to the battlefront and ask General Joab to send Uriah here to me immediately.
Uriah, the king sends for you. You will leave immediately.
What does the king want of me?
How would I know? Just do as he commands.
Long live the king!
Ah, greetings, Uriah. How is General Joab and his officers and men? The battle, how is it?
Oh, very fine, Your Majesty. To all the questions. The war goes especially well. General Joab expects the Ammonites to surrender any day now.
And you, Uriah, how are you?
Oh, tired, Your Majesty, and weary of the war, like all the other soldiers. But otherwise, I'm fine, sir.
You're one of my finest and most loyal officers. I thought I'd give you a rest from the war. Oh. So go to your home, Uriah, and rest. I'm sure you'll be glad to see your wife again, and she you.
His Majesty is very thoughtful.
Now give your wife her king's greetings and blessing. You may go now, Uriah.
Long live the king! Long live the king!
You may return to the battlefield now, Uriah. When you go, will you take this letter I've written to General Joab?
General, sir, here's a letter for you from the king.
Thank you, Uriah. Joab, greetings. I want you to place the bearer of this letter, Uriah by name, in the hottest part of the battle. Then get you away from him, that he may be smitten by the Ammonites and die. I wonder why all this fuss about Uriah. Uriah, come hither, please.
Yes, sir.
The king highly commends you for faithfulness and loyalty. I need a brave, courageous man right now at the walls of Rabbah. Go there immediately and take charge of the fighting.
Yes, sir.
The Lord had given the Israelites many warnings about not fulfilling the lusts of their hearts and eyes. Even when David heard that the beautiful woman that he'd seen from the palace roof was already married, he sent for her anyway. God's laws said, "You shall not commit adultery, and do not covet your neighbor's wife." Soon after that, David went on to break a third commandment of, "You shall not murder." Once a person commits one sin against God's commands, it's very easy to try and cover things up, only to break more. Bathsheba was the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Although Uriah wasn't an Israelite, he was likely a worshipper of the Lord because his name means, "My light is the Lord." Although the Israelites were God's chosen people, God always accepted any foreigner who worshipped him. Uriah was a member of David's royal guard, one of his mighty men, and at that time he was away with Joab fighting the Ammonites. It's quite possible that Bathsheba was also a Hittite, for the tribe of the Hittites descended from Canaan's second son, while Canaan's father was Ham, the son of Noah. The Hittites were living in the land before Joshua led the Israelites into it, and many survived the Israelites' initial warfare. An important element of any marriage is trust. Could Bathsheba trust Uriah to be faithful to her and vice versa? If that trust is broken, there's a great temptation for the injured party to walk out of the marriage and seek a divorce. God hates divorce for many good reasons. Any children of the broken marriage are damaged in some way, often emotionally and financially, by the breakdown in relationship between their parents. Poverty is often shown to be a mother trying to rear children with one hand while also working at a job to put food on the table with the other. When Bathsheba discovered that she was expecting a baby, she sent word to David of this. David knew that the child had to be his, as Uriah had been out on the battlefield. David and Bathsheba had committed adultery, for which the penalty was death. Bathsheba's pregnancy would now expose their adultery unless David could find a solution. To cover up his sin, David called Uriah home from the war on the pretext of finding out how the war was going. David hoped that Uriah would go home and sleep with his wife, so the child would then be considered Uriah's. But David's best-laid plans went astray. Although King David told Uriah to go home and rest, Uriah didn't do so. He stayed with David's servants for the night. David found out and tried again to get Uriah to go home to be with his wife, and again, Uriah refused. David's next plan was to get Uriah drunk so that he would forget his principles and go home to Bathsheba. But again, Uriah refused to go. Having been unsuccessful in making it appear that Uriah was the father of Bathsheba's child, David resorted to a final solution. With Joab's cooperation, David arranged to have Uriah killed by chance on the battlefield. And what was worse than this, Uriah was asked to carry his own death warrant to Joab. In order to be sure Uriah was killed, Joab had to send him and a few other men close to the city wall of Rabbah, where they would be vulnerable to the arrows of the defenders. This time David's plan worked, but it cost the lives of other Israelite soldiers as well. Joab was afraid that David might be angry at the loss of additional men, so he told the messenger taking the news to David to be sure to tell him that Uriah had died. Joab thought that this would soften David's anger about the extra deaths, and it did. David heartlessly told the messenger to tell Joab not to be upset by Uriah's death, as casualties in war were to be expected. After Bathsheba's time of mourning was over, she became David's wife. The cover-up had succeeded. No one would know that they had committed adultery together, except for God and some palace servants. But God was highly displeased with what David had done. How is it possible that David could have committed such great sins and still be considered a man after God's own heart? The reason is that the overall course of David's life was one of obedience to God. This affair with Bathsheba and Uriah was an exception in an otherwise godly lifestyle David led. After this episode, and in the light of God's anger about the situation, David showed deep sorrow and repentance. David's true heart is revealed in the Psalms that he wrote. For example, in Psalm 51, David wrote a prayer for forgiveness. Be merciful to me, O God, because of your constant love. Because of your great mercy, wipe away my sins. Create a pure heart in me, O God, and put a new and loyal spirit in me. Do not banish me from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. In Psalm 32, David wrote a prayer of confession. Happy are those whose sins are forgiven, whose wrongs are pardoned. Happy is the one whom the Lord does not accuse of doing wrong and who is free from all deceit. When I did not confess my sins, I was worn out from crying all day long. Then I confessed my sins to you. I did not conceal my wrongdoings. I decided to confess them to you, and you forgave all my sins. The Lord says, I will teach you the way you should go. I will instruct you and advise you. What can we learn from David's story in chapter 11 of 2 Samuel in the Bible? The Bible is totally honest and trustworthy. It reveals the weakness of even its greatest heroes. David's sin came at a time of prosperity and ease in the kingdom, despite war with the Ammonites. And David was not leading his army. He was at home and even idle. We are most open to temptation during such times. There is a saying, idle fingers get into mischief. We must be particularly careful during times of inaction and holidays. Usually there are a number of factors that then build up before one falls into sin. David had many wives, and he should have been sleeping with one of them that fateful evening. But David had become a bit overconfident and presented as being less dependent on the Lord than he should have been. David's sin started with a lingering gaze at a woman bathing. Instead of turning away, he gave into the temptation of watching and then lusting after her. Such lust can quickly progress into adultery or fornication, and on some occasions turn into murder. Satan never starts out tempting us with big sins. He simply invites us to look at something we shouldn't while assuring us that no harm will come from this. What is adultery? It is voluntary sexual acts between a married person and someone else who is not their married spouse. Often listed with adultery is fornication, which is voluntary sex acts between people who are not married to one another. Many couples these days live together for a few years before getting married. God calls this lifestyle as one of sin, and sin has consequences. Many of these arrangements end in divorce a few years later into the marriage. When the angel Gabriel visited Mary, the mother of Jesus, to tell her that she was going to have a special baby, Mary asked how that would be possible as she was a virgin. The angel said it would happen by God's own Holy Spirit coming upon her. When Mary's husband-to-be, Joseph, heard of her pregnancy, he now wanted to end their engagement. But God told him through a vision to marry Mary and look after her and the baby as though the baby was his own. This stopped Joseph from hurting Mary in a breakup, although he intended to do this privately at a very vulnerable and important time in her life. The good news is that Jesus Christ can forgive the sins we are sorry that we have done. We can repent of these and, by the power of God living within us, resolve never to do such thing again. The word adultery in the Old Testament referred to indulging in any kind of unlawful lust and was often used with regard to idolatry. In the Gospels and the letters of Paul, however, the word referred to sexual sins. Yet in the final book of Revelation, it is again used with regard to idolatry. How can a person get past their temptation for sexual sins, either in an actual relationship or through lusting in the mind while watching something on TV? It's very important that we turn away from the lust shown in movies and DVDs. If you want your Christian life to thrive, first you must eliminate the competition that distracts you and separates you from your Heavenly Father. Jesus said it is impossible to have two masters. He was referring to God his Father as one master, and the other as being what we are tempted to love that pleases our eyes, makes us feel good about ourselves, and or gives gratification to our fleshly desires. We need to get rid of anything in our lives that takes up our time and energy and keeps us from worshipping and serving God more fully. In short, we need to learn to love our God more by remembering what He's done for us, by reading the Bible often and regularly, and by praying constantly and consistently. We need to walk with Jesus now while we're alive on this earth and obey Him in the smallest tests. If you have a setback and fall into sin, quickly confess to Him where and how you've gone astray, and receive His forgiveness and God's restored fellowship that comes from confessing that sin and being set right in our spirit. Let us always remember what it says in the epistle of 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you don't have a Bible, but you have a smartphone, you can download for free a copy of the Bible onto your phone. As there are different types of phones, if you have any trouble doing this, ask someone you know to do an internet search for a Bible app that is suitable for your phone. But be aware there are nearly 40 translations available, and caution is recommended.
The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.